Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. It's a privilege to be standing in this place, worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of our soul. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing us to worship you freely. Such a privilege. In the light of what's going on in the world, Father, it's just an amazing privilege that we have to worship you freely, to worship you without fears, to lift up our hands and worship our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen. Good evening, Bethel. Good to be here. We have been doing this series during the whole month of July. We are ending July and we are ending our series Inside Out. And we have been talking about what God does inside of us is reflected in the outside. I don't know if you have the same saying in English as we do in Spanish, but sometimes when somebody's misbehaving and you want to say like a comfort word, people will say, but deep down, he's good. Like, I have a cousin that I have in mind right now. Like, my aunt is always saying, but deep down, he's good. And I'm saying to myself, look, I don't know how deep, I don't know how down, but what the Bible actually says is from the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. From what's in your heart is what happens outside. It's the way you behave. There is a connection between the inside and the outside. There is no disconnection in God's kingdom. It's just we are one in Him, and we cannot be two people. We cannot be two persons. And that has been the whole spirit behind the series. And we have been speaking within the series about baptism. And I am so glad for Lucas today that got baptized. Congratulations, Lucas. It's a blessing to see this young man confess his faith in Jesus Christ and follow him for the rest of his life. Amen. That's amazing. We talk about baptism, how it's symbol of the new birth, that something that has happened in your heart, you express it outside. God has transformed you, and you have died to your old self, and now you're a new person, and you symbolize that. You make a drama, if you want, of what has happened in your heart when you go to the water of baptism and you put your body inside the waters and you get out as a new person, symbolizing that you have a new life in Jesus Christ, that you are born again. And it's amazing how God works with us, that He always has used symbols. He knows, I mean, He's the best teacher ever, and He knows that we cannot learn all the way through words, that we need actions. We need to see something. That if at any time in this generation, this is a generation that see things, that the only way that you can convey anything to a young person is just if you have to show it to them. If you tell them, they will never learn it, they will never know it. And that's the way that God that has created us has worked with us always. It says, you want to know what has happened in your heart, make it clear in a confession of faith, and you have died to yourself, and now you're a new creation. You have born, and it's just a representation. And tonight, you're going to do the other sacrament that the Bible speaks about, and that's communion. And I have entitled this sermon, Outside In. We have been doing the series Inside Out. This one is Outside In. Because we partake, there is something in the outside that we bring inside of us, and it's a symbol of what God is doing in our lives. There is an external resource that God is giving us so that our internal being gets renovated. Let's go to the Word of God, and we're going to read this passage from Lucas. From Luke. Lucas is in Spanish. Luke. I always have a hard time when I'm preaching on a passage that has parallels. I feel like I am kind of neglecting a passage of the Bible because I'm choosing one. So I always go back and forth, and I have changed the passage a couple of times. But we are going to go with Luke 22, and we're going to read from verse 14 to 20. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. When Jesus starts celebrating this last Passover, he says, I have earnestly desired to celebrate this Passover with you. The way that the Bible says it, in Greek it says, with desire, I have desired to take this Passover with you. So it repeats, I desire to take this Passover with you. And what he's trying to convey is that the desire is so deep, it's so intense. The way that in Hebrew, the Hebrews will do superlative is repeating the same word two times. It says, I really, really desire, I have desire to take this Passover with you. Why did Jesus desire so intensely? Why did Jesus desire to celebrate that special occasion with his disciple so earnestly, so eagerly? What was so special, so important about this event, about this ceremony, about this sacrament, this celebration that he was about to celebrate? He knew that it was the last one, and it was just the night before he died. It was actually the same night that he was turned to the youth to be crucified. He knew that that was the last moment that he will have with them before he would crucify. But he knew that that ceremony, it was the last one for him till he will take it again in the kingdom of the Father. But it's a continuous celebration for us. He says, I want to point to this moment because this is the center of history. Here we're celebrating the most important moment in history that is going to divide history before and after. It's going to divide what has happened till now and what will happen after this. And I want to see how this communion, this last Passover, points in the first place to the cross. When Jesus took the elements, he says, this is my blood. This is my body that is crushed for you. This is my blood that is given for you. He's saying, this represents what I am doing. And I want you to point you with the same desire that I have to take this with you. I want that when you celebrate it, you have the same eagerly desire to participate with me, because this is a representation of what I am doing for you on the cross. The disciples didn't get it fully, but they got it later, and we got it now. Here at Bethel, when we celebrate communion, we have always the ushers standing at the door, yes, not letting people in sometimes in the middle of communion. Why? Because it's such an important moment. It's such a holy moment that we don't want any interruptions. And we don't want any interruptions in your own life, because this is a time when you're remembering what Jesus has done for yourself. You're pointing to the cross. You are actually renewing your vows with Jesus. You are just going back to that point when you got saved. And what you have now is because of what Jesus has done for you. And that's something that never gets old. That's something that we should ever forget what Jesus have done. When we have been saved for some time, we take things for granted. It seems like I have been saved forever. I got saved when I was 6 years old. And it seems like Jesus is all I have known. But sometimes I can take it for granted. That all what I am enjoying now, the peace, the forgiveness, the freedom that God has given me, it's not just a given. It had a price on the cross that Jesus paid for me. And because God knows how we easily forget things, how we easily forget the important things, how easily we get just busy with life stuff, and we get busy with not important stuff, that we forget that at the center of our life, the most important thing is that we are forgiven, that Jesus gave his life for us. And this is what we do in communion. We are pointing, says, when we come to the table, it's not a table anymore, but we are coming together. And that time of communion is pointing to what Jesus has done for you. It's a personal moment. It's an intimate moment between Jesus and I, because I am remembering. I'm making a drama of what happened in the cross. Have you watched the movie The Passion of the Christ? It's very intense. It's very intense. You see it and you realize how much has Christ done for you. More intense than a movie is the elements that represent. Jesus didn't say this symbolizes my flesh or this symbolizes my blood. He says, this is like you're eating my bread. You're taking part. And we don't believe in transubstantiation, if you know what it is. But we believe that Jesus is present. And all the benefits of his sacrifice on the cross are present. When we sit at the Jesus table, it's not our table, it's his. It's the Lord's Supper. And we are invited. We are invited, but it's pointing to the cross. It's pointing to what Jesus did for us. And if we have to do it over and over, every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Why do we take that bread? It's in remembrance of what he has done. And when he said in remembrance, the word remembrance means it's just bring it to memory. It's not like doing a memorial service. It's more like bringing it back, bringing it to you, what Jesus had done in your life. I don't know, when you see like old pictures, and those old pictures, you say, remember where were we when this picture was taken? When we see pictures of our children, when they were babies, this is what was going on. And we remember. And it seems like it comes to life, those moments. And we live them again when we are looking at that picture. And that's exactly what communion is supposed to be. Live back that moment when Jesus died for you. And he gave his life so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be saved. But communion not only points to the cross. Communion also points to community. Good. It points to the cross, but it points to community. When we celebrate communion, we are not just celebrating communion with Jesus. We are celebrating communion with one another. When Jesus said, "This is my body," he was referring to what he will do on the cross. But we are also his body. And when we take communion, we are taking it with Jesus, but with one another. There is nothing that brings us together as much as it does the celebration of communion. Because we are stating that we are a family. When Jesus told his disciples, go and prepare the Passover, they were not thinking about the Lord's Supper like we are thinking right now. They were thinking about the old tradition that as Jews they had of celebrating Passover. The Passover was a Jewish ceremony that reminded them that they were delivered from the slavery in Egypt, that they were delivered from death when all the firstborn of the Egyptians died, but the Jewish were spared. And there was the most important feast in the nation of Israel. And because it was the most important feast in the nation of Israel, it was a family meal. Every family, from the very first Passover, God had instructed, says, get all the family inside the house, and then you will kill a lamb, and then you will eat that within the family. The way that the tradition had developed was that the whole family, and when we talk about family in that nation, we are talking the extended family, the whole family will gather. It was like Thanksgiving. It was a family meal. Now, Jesus did something different. Every one of those 12 disciples had a family. That way, they were not spending Thanksgiving with their families. They were spending it with Jesus himself. Jesus was bold, if you want, by asking his disciples, you are not going home today, when they were expected to be home. He says, you're not going home today. We're going to celebrate it together. Because remember, before that, if you read a little bit back in Luke, it says, Peter went and asked, what are we going to do for Passover? It was almost like he was asking permission. Are you going to give us off so that we can go home? And Jesus said, no, you're not getting off today. Not today. You're going to go. Because Passover was almost there. They should be starting to get their way home so that they can get there on time for dinner. But Jesus said, no, you're going to go, and there is something prepared already. You go, you will see this guy at the entrance, then you will tell them, where is your guest room? Take us there, and you're going to prepare a dinner for ourselves. So it was different. For the disciples to be there, it was completely different. It was not the family. Usually, what happened during the Passover was the head of the house will lead the ceremony. For them, it was clear Jesus was the head of that group. But what wasn't clear is what the youngest one had a part. That's when they had a discussion, like, who's the greatest? Look, they are having communion, and they are having division in the middle of communion itself. So what's that? So they were saying, who is the youngest? Who is the youngest? Who is the greatest? Because we have to define who is the youngest, because they have to play the role. We don't have kids around, so somebody has to play the most humble role of the youngest one that has to make some question. Why is tonight different from all other nights? That was the question that was asked by the youngest. What's different today about all other nights? They were having their debate. None of them wanted to be the one that asked the question. It was already very different. But why did Jesus call them to spend the night, the Passover, with him? Because when we say that we are family, we really mean it. What makes us a family is not the blood. What makes us a family, are the experiences that we live together. When we live together, that makes the bonds. I have a sister that I didn't grow up with. My father had a child outside marriage, and we have reconnected with her after my father passed away, but it's hard for me with her because I didn't grow up with her, and all the connection we have is because she got saved, and that makes the bond, not our blood, not our last name, it's Jesus that has united us. Because what makes us a family is what we live together. And when you sit beside somebody else from a different ethnicity than yours, from a completely different background than yours, that didn't have the same experience, it is completely different life than yours, different culture, different language, different everything, but one common experience, washed by the blood of the Lamb. And that creates a bond that is more intense, because that experience, the experience of the cross, is so intense that that creates a bond that goes beyond any other experience that you may have had in your entire life. We are family when we take communion together. We take it to church because we have the same experience. Look, this is the blood that was shed for me and for you. We are sharing this. Our sins have been forgiven. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes. Not because we share the same likes or dislikes, but because we share the greatest experience of all that's being washed by the sacrifice, by the Lamb of God. That's our bondage. That's our family. We are family. And that's not just a metaphor. That's a reality. We share experience. On the other hand, I have another sister that is not my sister. It's my cousin, actually, but she grew up with me. And I have so much in common with her because we grew up together. We grew up together, and we are sisters. There's no difference. We are sisters. There's no difference with you, my sister. You are my sister. You are my sister because we both have been washed. And that's what we remember when we come to the Lord's table. We are family. We remember the covenant. Like I said before, the cross points to the covenant. Covenant is a pact. It's something that we do that cannot be broken. And Jesus says, I'm making a covenant with you. We are not equals in this covenant. We are not coming under the same terms. We are not 50-50. I'm giving it all for you.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, when we come to communion, it's like renewing our vows. If you're married, I don't know if you had renewed your vows at some moment. When we got married, my husband and I, we were dirt poor. So we had a humble ceremony. Well, we were not that poor, but we were pastors. We wanted to buy the whole church. So we did kind of a popular party. And it wasn't exactly the dream wedding, to say the least. It was like a park picnic. Then when we celebrated our 7th anniversary, we decided to renew our vows. Let's do something nicer. Yeah, like we would like to have it. And we did it. Now, when you renew your vows, you remember what you had promised. Now with experience. When you were promising, making those first vows, you didn't know what you were saying. Huh? You said it because you were supposed to. Kind of. I tried to be smart with my vows so that I wouldn't compromise too much. But when you renew your vows and you have been married for a long time, then you know what you're saying. And you really mean it. And you make deeper vows. Because it's knowing, having experienced. When we come to the Lord's table, what do you mean? I mean, when we come to the Lord's table, we are renewing our vows with Jesus. How long have you been saved? I mean, it doesn't matter how long you have been saved. You're saying, Lord, you are my everything. And the Lord is renewing his vows with us because this is my blood. This is my body. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Yeah. Says, I am really committed with you and I know you. I know that you have failed me. In the same occasion when Jesus was celebrating this Passover, it was when Jesus also announced that he will be betrayed, and he announced that Peter will deny him. And Peter says, no, Jesus, I will never do that. And Jesus said, yes, you will. But you will repent, and you will be restored. And when you are restored, help your brothers. That's what Jesus said. When you're restored, help your brothers. When Jesus is present in communion, he died for us over 2,000 years ago, and he knows us. And he knows you. He knows you walk with him. The times that you have failed, he knows everything. The same way that he knew that Peter would deny him. And he already forgave him and said, you will repent, I will forgive you. You will be restored and you will be a leader with among your brothers. And he is making those vows with you again. He's among us in communion in those symbols saying, I am with you. I am with you. Now, on the other hand, when we read in 1 Corinthians, the teaching on communion, and the Apostle Paul says, I have told you what I received from Jesus, and he tells the story about communion and how it's supposed to be. And then he gives a warning. And he says, therefore, whoever takes or partakes of communion unworthy, he's guilty of the body of Christ. What does it mean? What does this warning mean? If you're renewing your vows with your spouse, if you're cheating on your spouse, you wouldn't do it. I have never heard of anybody renewing their vows while they were having an affair. That's something that doesn't go along. I mean, you will find a way to avoid that if you are in some troubles. Wouldn't you? That's the same thing with Jesus. Communion is a way that we check our covenant. And how are we doing? We kind of pair our beliefs with our behavior. It says, how am I doing in this covenant? Am I giving myself to Jesus like I am supposed to be? The church I grew up in, they were very serious about communion. And they will always make, if you feel that you are not worthy, then you better not, don't take communion. And I remember one occasion, I was like 15 years old. And it was the communion time, I started crying. I was crying and crying and crying there because I didn't feel worthy of taking communion. The pastor's wife who saw me there crying and I didn't take the elements. So after the service, she approached me. Besides, she was my aunt. So when you see a 15 years old that is crying, not taking communion, now I realize what she thought. But she came to me and said, why didn't you take communion? I said, because I fought with my sister today and she's so mean to me. And I started crying because I have fought with my sister and that wasn't something unusual. And I didn't feel worthy of taking communion. She comforted me and says, the blood of Jesus covers our sins. But when we come to communion, because it points to the covenant, it makes it clear that we are in this relationship where everything is in. From Jesus' side, he has proven that everything is in. And everything that you take for your forgiveness is in there. And everything that you need for restoration is there. Everything you need to stand on your feet is there. It's just on you to say, Jesus, I am yours. My life belongs to you. And you surrender everything to him. And like Peter, it's not a promise of saying I will never fail. It's a promise I will always be close. I will always follow you. I will never forsake this covenant. Because I know within this covenant, the one who wins is me. Finally, communion points to consummation. What communion does is Jesus said, I will never take of this cup and of this bread till I take it renew in the kingdom of my Father. When we drink to communion, what communion does, it connects the past with the future. It brings us to a point when we know because of what Jesus did, I have been forgiven. Because of what Jesus did, I enjoy a new life. Because of what Jesus did, I have the joys of God. Because of what Jesus did, I am enjoying a new life. But this is only a foretaste of the whole meal that Jesus is going to give us. This is only like showing the footage of the real movie. It's like when you come to communion, you're seeing a little part of what's going to be when the kingdom of God comes to this earth. And this is a hope that we need to keep alive in our lives continuously. That's why every time that we celebrate communion, we are saying, Jesus, come. I want the next one that is not an usher, the one that serves it to me, is going to be you yourself that is going to be serving that cup to me. The next communion, Jesus, maybe. The next one, you are going to be the one that's going to be passing me the cup and passing me the bread. In communion, we see the way that we are supposed to live between the past and the future in a balanced way. It's not that we long for the future without enjoying what Jesus has already done. In communion, it's that balance. Many times Christians have the tendency to be very extremes. And there are some Christians that just are longing for the future and are forgetting about the present. And there are Christians that are so caught in the present that don't see that the future hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But communion makes that reminder. It reminds us that we are in the middle. That we are in the middle. That we have a taste of that meal. That I know how it's going to be because if he has been so good to me. If he has been so good to me, if he has forgiven my sins, if he has given me a new life, if he has given me peace, if he has given me the joy of the Spirit, now I kind of see why Paul said things that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. It is what God has prepared for us. When we approach communion, and we're going to celebrate it today, when we approach communion, we are approaching the table of the Lord, thinking about the consummation that is going to happen, when we are going to enjoy food, the whole meal. When Jesus sat at the table, and they were celebrating Passover, there were many things that were different in that Passover. The speech that was always memorized and repeated over and over wasn't the same. It was different. Jesus changed it. The family meal that was usually done among the blood relatives, it was different. It was among those who had been saved, that would be saved with the blood of Jesus. But something that was different is that in that meal, in the Passover, the main course was the meat, the lamb. In that Passover, there wasn't a lamb on the table. Because the lamb was sitting at the table. Wow. Jesus offered them only bread and wine. Because he was the Lamb of God that was sitting with them. And that's what happens every time we celebrate communion. Jesus is here to sit at our table. Jesus is here. And as the usher comes and give us the elements, I want you to take it, knowing and that remembering the cross, what Jesus did for you. Look at the cross. Look at the cross. Renew your vows. Renew your vows. It's a great ceremony. This is the covenant of the kingdom of God, of which you're a citizen. Remember community. I want you to share it with somebody. We have an experience. Let's trade with somebody your cup and the elements. We have an experience that makes us more family than any other family because we have been washed by the blood of Jesus. And look at the future. Look at the consummation of time. When we are going to sit at Jesus' table and see him face to face, today we will see him in the elements. Tomorrow we will see him face to face. Face to face. But here we have a drama, a representation, so that you can see what Jesus has done. Why don't we stand and pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your son to us. Bless this bread that represents your body that was crushed for my iniquities, that was crushed for my sins, that was crushed for my health. Father, I bless this bread, and I pray that that your presence is so real among us as we take communion today. Father, if there is anybody sick today, as we take the bread, that we may find healing in your sacrifice. Bless this cup, which represents the new covenant of what you have done for us. Bless this cup, Jesus. Bless this cup that represents your blood that was shed for my sins. Thank you. Thank you for the amazing privilege of being your child, of being a citizen of your kingdom, of being part of this covenant. And as each one of us partake of these elements today, that we may take it with reverence. This is the Lord's table. Don't just look. You to take your cup and tell to somebody, we are family, you're my brother, we share the greatest experience. We share the greatest experience of all. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for your body. Take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. What would I be? Where would I be if it wasn't for your blood? Thank you. Thank you. Take off the cup together.
Father, thank you. Man, what a tremendous reminder tonight. Thank you that communion points us to the cross. Thank you, Lord God, that communion reminds us of community. Thank you, Lord God, that communion reminds us of your covenant towards us and sobers us to our covenant with you. And thank you, Lord God, that it even celebrates a greater day and consummation and wedding when you're coming back for your bride without spot or wrinkle, God. Father, thank you for every person here tonight, God. Thank you for your presence here. God, we don't take your presence lightly. We love you tonight, God. You know, just right where you are, just tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. Can we just love on him? It might feel weird. Just look to heaven and tell Jesus tonight that he's the lover of your soul, that he's won your affection, that you love him, that you're thankful, that you're grateful. That tonight, you're setting your gaze upon him in his majesty, in his beauty, in his faithfulness, in his kindness, in his mercy. Just tell him. Just speak out of your heart. Just tell him. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Alice, you come here. You're going to close this. I'm going to pull up Pastor James. Just want to remind you guys, we do have our We Are Family series this week, and we'll be receiving communion again on Sunday. And also, we have our big picnic coming up in August. So remember, August 10th, our big picnic. You're closing this tonight, so pray and close.
Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for that word, God. We thank you for being reminded of the covenant we have with you, God. God, I ask right now that you just fall fresh on each one of us, God. Remind us that we truly are family, God. God, we love you tonight, God, as we leave this place, but never your presence, God. Be with us as we travel home tonight, God. Bless each and every household in this house, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, we're here to pray for you. Don't forget your children. They're calling for you now. Otherwise, please join us at the altar if you need prayer for anything. God bless you. See you Sunday.